Amen. You can celebrate God, how he's working through our worship team. Amen. Amen. So to my children in the room, I have a question for you. If your aunt, uncle, mom, dad, cousin, whoever is present, if they could buy you one thing and they said they would buy you whatever you wanted, what would you choose today? Shout it out. Let me hear it. Go ahead. Just what was that? Crafts. Yep. Candy. PlayStation. A poisonous snake. A what? Candy. All right. Teddy Ruxpin. Ooh. Somebody dated themselves on that one. Care Bear. So what I didn't realize was that this weekend is like one of our nation's biggest weekend for selling stuff. I didn't know Labor Day was like a shopping weekend, but if you need some appliances, they on sale. If you need some shoes, it's on sale. If you're looking for technology, is on sale. Like the articles that were coming up were all people who did Black Friday. They were like all these writers for Black Friday that also were writing about Labor Day. I'm like, whoa, there's a lot on sale, a lot to be purchased. But for some reason, when I go in the store, no matter how good the sale is, they also assume that I have money. They want you to still have something to make that purchase with. There's some type of connection between this sale and the assumption that you will work, that you have put in some hard labor, you've put in some energy, somehow you've been able to amass some money, and that's actually what this whole weekend is about. This weekend is Labor Day, and Labor Day started back in 1894. It was a national holiday, and the first observance happened when in New York City, 10,000 workers took unpaid leave. They marched through the streets to demonstrate the strength of the trade and labor organizations. They generated and demonstrated their solidarity and showed the nation how important they are to the infrastructure. Now, whether you are on the side of unions or not, we're not about to debate that. What we are going to show, though, is that our nation stops for at least a weekend every year to say that work is good, that to put work in is a noble task, and that we should be honoring and celebrating those who give of their time and of their effort to provide for themselves and for their families. Now, we know there's some broken history with work. The African-American community and its inception in work here in the nation, Asian community and its earliest days of being here, there's some brokenness connected to work, but we're not going to talk about all of those things. We're going to talk about the beauty of work and what it produces. Because there's a temptation to see work as this thing that is all evil. And though in Genesis 3, some of the fruit of work is a broken structure, God redeems all things and can use even work to point us towards his glory. And so, if you will, I ask you to join me in Proverbs chapter 14. I usually have about 15 or 16 verses. I might have a whole chapter. Today, my focus is one verse. I'll have a few that back it up and hopefully help us understand it a little bit, but we're going to one verse, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. When someone gets there, if you can tell us what page that's on in the Pew Bible. 921 in our Pew Bible. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. Proverbs 14, verse 4. It says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty. But from the strength of an ox come abundant harvests. Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty. But from the strength of an ox come abundant harvests. You would think that at first look, the first portion of this sentence is trying to tell you something positive. It's saying, hey, there's no oxen. The manger is empty. It seems clean. A clean manger is maybe something that you want. But actually, this sentence is saying quite the opposite. I don't cook often in our home. My wife blesses me, and she cooks most of the time. She would like your pastor to cook more often, so pray for me on that. I'm being stretched. But the times when I do cook, she gets a little chuckle because I look at a recipe, and if it has like 17 things, I lay out all 17 things first. If it has the measurement of a quarter cup of something, a half cup of something, and three-quarter cup, y'all would just use the quarter cup and do one scoop, you know, two and three. No, I get three different. I lay it all out. And we, you know, what'd you say, sis? A lot more washing happens. Yes, indeedy. But the sign of the kitchen being a total mess is actually the evidence of work having taken place. You see, this biblical writer is trying to say where there are no oxen, the manger is empty. He's actually saying, actually, if it's empty, that means no work. No work is happening. This is not a good thing for a household. This is not a good thing for a family. Having no sense of work is actually a very negative thing. So he's trying to help us see, no, that's not what you want. What you want is actually the strength of an ox to develop abundant harvest. You actually want to see a messy environment. You want to see the effects of a manger that's been full. A manger where work has been happening. A manger where there is action taking place. And Pastor, why are you talking about oxes? Why are you talking about mangers? Well, the Lord celebrates all of us in our daily comings and goings. And our work is something that we are supposed to present unto God. But work in your paycheck is not the only way you are called to respond and be a faithful member of Christ. You see, some of us work hard on our jobs and work little in our relationships. Some of us work very hard to make money, but we will not work as hard when it comes to the effort of those relationships that are all around us. And I believe God's encouraging us and wants us to not simply see work for a paycheck as the ultimate goal, but to work in relationships that benefit you and one another. Somebody was saying that the way Dad goes out into the garage and works on the car, I wish he would work with me on my soccer like that. A friend was saying that, man, the way she works at work, I wish she would respond to the text when we try to get together and have lunch. Work is not simply what you do for money. Work is actually an initiative. It is you putting forth effort, and God wants your effort to go in more places than your wallet. So let's highlight a few of those, a few ways in which we can see that effort taking place. If you stayed in that same chapter, there's an encouragement to hard work, which is found in verse 23. It says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. You ever had a friend that tells you how much they really care about the relationship, really enjoy you, but are never available? Some of y'all are like, Pastor, that's you. I know. But talk only does not produce the fruit of hard work. Hard work, putting forth some effort, actually engaging and focusing your energy can produce something beautiful for God and beautiful in our relationships. Let's take a few aspects of relationships here. Let's talk about singleness. We can talk about marriage, and we can talk about being a parent. Now, I know that, you know, work is one component, but I like that 1 Corinthians encourages us to consider the good of others. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, I have the right to do anything. For some of you that might say, well, hey, Pastor, like I'm good. I work hard. When I come home, I just chill. And you have that right. You have the freedom to just relax and kind of go easy when it comes to working on relationships. But I want to encourage you to seek the good of others. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything's beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. We should be considering the love, the relationships, the bonds we have with others, and be willing to work on those things. Work on those things. Some of you have good friendships, and you had to learn what a good friendship is. How many of you enjoy a close friend calling you once a month? How many of you enjoy a close friend calling you once a week? See, most of the hands was different. I had to learn in working on friendships what was a healthy frequency for me. I got a cousin that I love dearly that I could talk to with his bond. There's something beautiful about it, and we could talk almost every day. And I have another cousin that we talk maybe once every 8 months, and it feels like we talked yesterday. But if he called me every day, you need something, bro? You okay? See, you learn that in relationships. You learn, like when do I feel like I've had my fill of my time with you, and when have I sacrificed to invest in you? When have I learned how to navigate this friendship? You got to work on friendships. Friendships don't just manifest. Especially friendships as adults. If you don't have that elementary school bond, you know, remember when we was with Miss what's her name and we threw eggs at her house? If you don't have that college experience, if you don't have that first job walking into, if you just meet a grown person 2 weeks ago and you don't want to build a friendship, it takes work. It takes time. It takes intentionality. And it will be some give and some take, some sharpening of one another, some edges being rubbed a bit, but it is a gospel-centered, beautiful thing when we get a chance to have true and beautiful fellowship. If you are in relationship with anyone, it's going to take work. If you are in a marriage, it's going to take work. There is a bunch of studies that I looked at, but I like the way this one summarized some things. They said, of the many great points within this study, it said, these are 10 traits that strong, healthy, joyful couples identify as key parts of their relationship. We feel very close to each other, 93%. I'm very satisfied in how we talk with each other, 95%. I won't do all the percentages. When we discuss problems, my partner understands my opinion and ideas. I can express my true feelings to my partner. We compromise when problems arise. Our togetherness is a top priority for each of us. Even during disagreements, I can share my feelings and ideas with my partner. I'm satisfied with the amount of affection my partner gives. We find it easy to think of things to do together, and my partner's reliable and follows through on most things. Now, I know when you start grading yourself, you was like, Don't show nobody the scorecard. They don't need to see that. But every one of those things mentioned isn't just something that harmoniously happened and the people just met and it was just perfect and there was no challenges. If you just picked one of those, it takes work. And it will be a continual work. Work that gets messy. Work that gets messy. It is difficult. And I think what God wants to do is say, can I be present in that? Will you invite me into that? Can I be a key factor that allows you to be a healthy friend so that when you leave the presence of people, they're like, man, I miss her. I miss him. That marriage is something that is beautiful and is something that looks like what Christ intended. Is it a perfect one? No, but it's looking like it. Why? Because we keep sharpening each other and working on this thing. It's one of the joys that I get to do whenever I lead a marriage. We get to say, and all of y'all join in with me, and we say, yes, this is a great day. This is a wedding. But the marriage begins tomorrow. It's a ceremony kicking off a continual work that needs the Lord's hand upon it. Family, I don't want to guilt any of us. I don't want you to feel like you're a bad friend. I don't want you to feel like you're a bad spouse. What I want you to do is say, I haven't arrived. No matter how good, if I can check off the box for all 10 of those things in my relationship, we still have not arrived. Because guess what? Tomorrow will be new challenges. Tomorrow there will be a new me, a new you. We're going to have to continue to keep getting to know one another. And so it's going to take work. Lastly, let's list up some parenting suggestions. Some parenting flow. Sis, I don't know if I was I. Oh, Jenny left. There you are. Was I able to get that picture in there or no? You got me? Cool. Would you mind bringing up this little picture, brother Kyle? Well, we can bring up that one first. My fault. So yes, that was different than where I was going, but that was in there. All right. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but do you know the difference between an ox and a cow? Okay, come on with it. Ox has horns and a cow doesn't. Okay, I would believe that. What I learned was that they're actually the same animal, just one is raised to do manual labor. Same animal. Now, maybe all the little books that I had made an ox with all this hair and looked like he had like 9 legs. I don't know. But I thought an ox was a totally different animal from what I saw and have learned. That they are the same, just raised with a different purpose. Raised to work. Raised to produce. Raised to benefit you and I so that we don't have to carry the heavy load that they carry. But under parenting, there's a sign that like reoriented the mind. Not that one? Well, we got that? Okay, yeah, now there we go. Kyle got me now. Here we go. Bow. There we go. That's where I was going. There's a sign that's for all the parents. It said, I'm a kid. Reminder for you. It's just a game. My coach is a volunteer. The officials are human. They make mistakes. And no college scholarships are being handed out today, Dad, in T-ball, okay? Like just chill out. Chill out. Thank you and have fun. Why do I bring this up? I bring this up because when you get out the car and you're living through your child and you want your child to do all these great things, a sign like this is supposed to reorient you. It's supposed to remind you and give you healthy perspective. It's supposed to get you back on what you're really there for, which is to celebrate and encourage your kid. But there's so much tempting you to step out of that mindset. So we need reminders. This is why the gospel is so important in our lives. We need constant reminders that we are a work in progress and we need to be working on relationships. And the gospel needs to remind us, refocus us, re-give us new perspectives so even our parenting adjusts. It adjusts. It's okay that you did, what's the diapers that's not disposable? It's okay that you did cloth. And then it's okay if you did disposable. It's okay if you smashed all of the baby food by hand. And it's okay if you bought Gerber's. It's okay. And Christ wants to work through you, care for you, and use you to grow. But guess what? There's going to be some new components where you as a parent got to keep growing. In this body, we've had children we've had parents that have stories of their children needing certain help as infants and their children needing certain help at 27. And this family, this church has walked together with one another through some very, very joyous times and some very low times. And we as a body have to be okay with getting it wrong, but continuing to work as parents. You see, God wants life to get a little bit messy. He wants us to be able to adapt and to adjust and have the gospel remind us of why we are here. But we got to make sure we're doing our part, y'all. Do our part in our relationships. Do our part in our marriages. Do our part in the way in which we parent. I don't know what we bought. It was something big, though. And we got some toys, got everything set up. I was so frustrated that the kids wanted to play with the big old box that the toys came in instead of the toys. I'm mad. You know how much money I spent? You know how much time we spent going back and forth over the purple one or the blue one? What if the pink one? All these discussions that don't really matter. Finally get it there. Y'all do it. And y'all playing with the box. And I almost missed the joy in their voices that they were having with the box. So get on in the box, Daddy, and start acting like we on a spaceship. But if you don't keep working at submitting to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will miss those opportunities. Walking in frustration and anger. Family, let's work at this thing together. Lastly, I do have one more picture for y'all. It's a picture of two ox together. What I did learn as I was researching a little bit about ox and their flow is training starts when they are only a few weeks old as they learn how to be comfortable around humans. The first step in an ox training doesn't involve any work. It's not any manual labor, but it does start when they are very, very young. They are taught how to wear a halter and how to walk calmly as they are led. Step one in their training is for them to be taught how to be led. Family, that's a key component of our work. We are not working based on our own strength, our own understanding, our own ingenuity, and our own brilliance. We are working unto God as we are being led by the Holy Spirit. We can't get this right. You are not going to be a perfect parent. I am not going to be a perfect parent. You're not going to be a perfect sibling. You're not going to be a perfect spouse. But empowered by the Holy Spirit's leading, God can use you to do magnificent things in all three of those areas. in each and every one of those areas and more. I picked three of your relationships. You have more. Kids, you thought I would let y'all off the hook. Kids, if you are present, can I ask you to stand? All right. So, if you would like a piece of candy after church, then what I need you to do is clap with me. I'm going to say one, two, three. And if you would like a piece of candy after church, you don't have to have one. If you would like one, then I just need you to clap with me. One, two, three. Okay, here we go. Ready? Go. One, two, three. Okay, have a seat. Have a seat. I know, I got you. They're like, where's that, Pastor? Come on. I got you. Don't worry. I got Miss Alicia. She's over there in the corner. Raise your hand. She, after church is all the way over. That means it's singing after communion. She will be waiting outside with a piece of candy for you if you did that. Now, children, what you just did, though, was you chose to obey my request. You chose to listen and do what I asked you to do. As a child, the way in which you work unto God is by obeying your parents. Because your parents have your good in mind. Your parents are listening to the Holy Spirit, and they are wanting a reward for you that is far greater than any candy. And so today, start asking yourself, how do I choose to obey my parents, my aunt, uncle, the leader in our home? Because it will benefit you and it will give you a great reward. Church family, we can learn from the kids, can't we? It doesn't just apply to them. I am grateful for God's use of work in our lives. May it encourage and humble us. May our homes be joyful messes as we try to do this thing unto Christ. May we know that when we get it wrong, He is quick to forgive, quick to encourage, quick to lavish on us the overwhelming, steadfast love. And may we every day do a little bit better in working unto Christ through our relationships. Can we pray together? Lord, may every Labor Day remind us of your desire for us to work on our relationships. The most important relationship is the one that we have with you. It is You, Lord, that give us strength. It is You, Lord, that give us our understanding. And it is You, Lord, that has ultimately allowed us to experience forgiveness of our sin because of the work You accomplished on the cross. Let us now, Lord, delight in Your work. Our work just simply allows us to look more like You. Our work does not earn us anything. It just refines us as Your people. So help us. Help us if today, Lord, we got a friend that we know we need to call. Help us. If today, Lord, we can say that we're doing well in three of those areas for our marriage, but not doing well in seven. And Father, over the next 6 months, we're going to work on it and be better at two more of them. Let us work as parents, Lord, to love, support, and encourage our children while providing structure and discipline. Let these beautiful young kids, Lord, realize that obeying their parents, Lord, blesses You and brings You great joy. Now, God, it's unto You we pray. In Jesus' name.